Hello, everybody, and welcome to minute 90. Wow, can't believe we're at 90 already. Of season 5 of Movie for a Minute, the daily podcast, where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1990. Hey, there we go, 90 again. Bruce Willis action film Die Hard 2, Die Harder, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off this week and close out the 90 minute mark is David Brook from Blueprint Review. Welcome back to the show, David.
We're looking forward to seeing if these flashing devices do anything or not.
They'll flash. Wait, they need to do something besides flash? Come on.
Unfortunately, that is all they do. But yeah, I can remember rewatching. It's been a while since I've seen it. And when I rewatched it, I was like, yeah, explosions. I've always got a soft spot for a good old flashing explosion. Yes. But no dice.
Well, what can you do? You got to hope for.
There are plenty of other explosions in the film.
Yeah. That's true. That's very true. So minute 90 begins with Grant taking a few pot shots and ends with Grant leading his men to the church. So yesterday we ended things with the firefight beginning. Whether it's real or not, we don't know. And, you know, a lot of broken windows in the church and a lot of shooting back and forth. And we ended things with Grant jumping down into the ground and getting ready to shoot. He pulls out his gun and is getting ready to shoot. And he shoots twice, but we only see one muzzle flash. Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't quite cut away quick enough to suggest it cuts after the muzzle flash should have been there, yeah.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, it's still fine. Still fun.
I did have a theory, actually. I did have a theory about the windows. I guess again, it could be argued. You could argue it's all part of their plan. Is they purposely quickly smashed the windows because they didn't want anyone not in on the plan to notice that their guns were not doing any damage to the windows because they're not shooting anything. So possibly that was part of the whole scheme to smash as many windows as visible as possible. It still doesn't explain how three of them smashed five windows at six windows, whatever it was.
Right, but there's something else that they can make it seem as if there are more of them.
Yeah, true.
If you're breaking more windows and shooting from different angles and stuff like that, so then you can think that, okay, you know, we're dealing with more people here.
Yeah.
So there is that too. Right. So Grant shoots with his pistol, goes back to the question that we asked yesterday, you know, are those real bullets or are those blue bullets? But the assumption is that either he's completely not aiming in the right direction and they're real bullets or they're fake bullets or he doesn't care. Mm. You know, one less person to spread the wealth with. You know, you split with sure. One less way. It wasn't me who shot him. It was McClane, you know.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what I'm talking about. No idea. So then Blue Light continues with their assault on the church. And then we see Miller, who just a few seconds ago was shooting a whole bunch of rounds out the window, sets another one of the assumed charges, you know, and flips on the little blue, little red lights. And they all start, flashing all around as he's doing that. And it makes you wonder who's shooting now, because then the next shot we see Burke walking around also there. So I guess.
Yeah, and you can hear loads of guns. Yeah.
That's right. So who is still shooting? You know, Khan is still there.
Outside.
I know Khan and Garber are still there. So, okay. Maybe someone's shooting up there. Something like that. You know, I mean, there are a total of six guys left here.
And you'd hear the outside guns, I guess. They might be still firing off.
Yeah, but they'd be shooting if they don't see the muzzle flashes coming towards them. Yeah, so I don't know. but we see Burke once again moving back and forth from the right to the left, left to right, right to left, left to right. No, and then Stewart screams out and goes, "General, it's time." And then he walks over. I mean, we've talked about this numerous times. We talked about it with Jess back in, I think it was episode 36. And then when Todd was on, I think in episode 71, we were talking about this. You know, you have this counter, which is counting up, which we have not, we were never able to figure out why it's counting up. And then Stuart goes over to it, and this time it's obscured, so you can only see the seconds counting up, and you don't know the full minutes of what it was talking about. So you see it goes 45, 46, you know, and then he basically turns everything off, including that timer. So we will never know what the timer is really used for.
Is it just not a fancy clock?
It is. That's true.
Yeah, pretty much, I guess.
Could be. And then he turns everything off at one shot. And again, we see all of the bad guys walking here. So nobody is shooting. they've stopped that. And then this time we get Burke, you know, John Guzziamo, to put in one of the charges. And this one also has the number 2 next to it. I guess they're all number 2'd. No idea. Maybe that's the...
That might be the channel for the detonator.
It's the brand name? I don't know. Could be so many different
things. Detonator channel, I think.
That's right. And then they open up the back door and come out, and they're wearing ski masks also. But what color are their ski masks? Black. So it goes... It's what you talked about earlier this week. It's the spy versus spy idea. That, you know, you have red versus black and black... sorry, white versus black and black versus white. So it could be either of them. And, you know, they do a great job of covering up the faces of these guys as they come out. You know, we see that they're shooting towards the guys from Blue Light, and Blue Light are shooting at them also. You know, and I love how some of them just stand there in the middle and shoot in that direction as they're going. You know, because again, they know that they have no, there's no danger unless John gets a shot off. You know, that type of thing. And we see all of them, all 5 of them, are just crouching as they go through the intermittent fire. And then someone gets there and starts grabbing a tarp and starts pulling it off. And we're revealed underneath a whole bunch of snowmobiles. All right. Now, did you count how many snowmobiles there are here?
Oh, yeah. They clearly weren't enough for all the people to survive. But that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That is what I was going to say. There are.
Well, they could have shared. Could have had someone on the back. Yeah, Esperanza's on the back.
No, but if there were supposed to be a total of 13 people.
Oh, yeah, there were loads more, weren't there?
They should be 13
yeah,
people.
Not all getting on there.
Someone, you know, three guys are being left behind. There are not enough. There are not enough snowmobiles here, for sure.
Snowmobiles, no.
Right.
Must have rung the rental guy and said, "Oh, come pick up a few of them, save the money."
That's right. That's right. Oh, Cochran's dead. All right, get rid of another one. Oh, we lost the four. We lost the four guys at the Annex Skywalk. All right, we don't need that one either. You know, we don't have to pay extra for them. Okay, there is something to that. It makes sense. So they pulled this tarp off of it. Do you know what the full name of a tarp is?
Tarpaulin.
Yeah, tarpaulin. Tarpaulin, which is a large sheet of strong, flexible, water-resistant or waterproof material, often cloth such as canvas or polyester, sometimes made of plastics, and they have reinforced the grommets at the corners and along the sides to form attachment points for rope, allowing them to be tied down or suspended. You know, and some people make inexpensive ones and stuff like that, and it's used basically to keep rain off of things, or you know, to save things from the weather. You know, sometimes you might have it on wood piles. Open trucks sometimes have it on them, or something like that, because it also protects things from sunlight, not just bad weather with the whole thing. And sometimes people use canvas ones, which are not 100% waterproof. But they're usually water resistant. You know the difference between waterproof and water resistant, right?
Yeah.
I remember when as a kid, when I had a watch, the whole question was, okay, what is water resistant and waterproof? What's the difference? You know, how deep down can you dive? And it says I'm like going to 200 meters, and there's no way I'm going 200 meters anyway, so I don't have to worry about that.
On the watches, yeah.
With tarps, they have different colors showing the different type of grade. Of the tarps themselves. you know, about the, you know, how strong they are and stuff like that. So the lightest ones are the blue ones. Then you have yellow or orange, followed by green, and then you have silver, and then brown are the super heavy duty ones that, you know, the tarp is thicker. That's the difference.
Yeah, okay.
And yeah, it's pretty different. You know, like the blue one is anywhere between 0.13 and 0.15 millimeters thick, and the brown ones are 40 or 0.41 millimeters. So we're talking almost three times as thick. So that's you know, pretty interesting. Do you know where the word tarpaulin comes from?
Oh, no idea.
So it's a conjunction of the words tar and pauling, which were referring to they would have a pall, PALL, that was used to cover objects on ships, and they would tar it in order to keep it water resistant and things like that. And so therefore they actually started calling sailors jack tars because of the type of work that they would do, that they would always be tarring things and stuff like that. So yeah. And you know, they so we realized that someone got their math wrong here or whatever, but you can also see they let us see each of them as they get on the snowmobile. So you have Garber on the far left, Miller is the one next to him, Burke is in the middle, then you have Kahn having Esperanza on his back, and then Stewart is on the right, which he doesn't have any type of hat or mask or anything like that. And I think that's just so we can tell that it's him. You know, it's not just cannon fodder. You know, the idea that we mentioned earlier this week, that all the guys in blue light are, we can't see who they are because they're all nameless and faceless and things like that. But here, you know, basically most people watching this will not know the names of all the characters, like I, for some strange reason, do. But you know, they still want you to be able to identify Stewart. So he's the guy who just has the goggles on. You know.
Yeah, as I say, it's a stuntman thing as well. I guess it's got masks and things. It's easier to just shove a stuntman in a shot, swap them around. But but yeah, as you say, but they always want to identify the
That's
main
right.
guys.
That's right. And then you know, Stewart gives them like this he like whirls his hand around in a circular motion, you know, which I've seen in movies where it's like take off. So I guess it's more or less what he's telling them, you know, get ready to take off. We're getting out of here, type of thing. Even though I'm assuming they all assume that. They already all know that because they're on the snowmobiles getting ready to go. But okay.
Yeah, they aren't just gonna sit there, are
And
they?
I love how they have to leave in a formation. You know, they go one at a time. You know, it starts off.
Well, I guess they're soldiers, it might be just in their blood, and if it all went at once, it'd be chaos.
That's right.
So it makes sense, makes
That's right.
sense.
At this point, John screams out, "They're pulling out!" And Grant goes, "What?" He goes, "Out the back." So it's just very funny. You're like, what would they have done if John wasn't here? Besides get away with everything, you know.
Yeah.
You know, as far as they're concerned, it doesn't really make a difference. You know, that we're going to keep shooting. We know. I mean, one of the guys in blue light was shooting at them as they're running in the open space. So, you know, somebody knows that these guys are not in the building anymore. So, but again, I guess it's part of the plan, so they don't really care. And it's a good thing that John McClane's there. And then, I mean, when Grant responds, "What?" It's like, "Oops," you know, "Uh-oh," someone noticed. And then they get out one by one, and then John gets up to go search for them. And then Grant turns to one of his men and goes, "Move it, Albertson. Take your men around back." You know, now he needs to make it seem as if he's really trying. You know, and then the snowmobiles start taking off. And the funniest thing is, you know, it goes back to what we were saying earlier this week about how they have to break windows. You know, each of them has to go through a different fence.
Yeah, but even though in reality it'd really bugger up their
That's
quick
right.
getaway.
That's right. And first of all, forget about that. One of them goes through, then the rest can go through the same one. You know, it's not,
Yeah, true.
we've made an opening, now go through. So, I don't know. And then we even get three of the snowmobiles that like they leap off a small dune, you know, a little bit in the air, just to show us how much of daredevils these guys are.
To be fair, I'd probably do
Well,
that. Have you ever ridden a
I hope you
snowmobile?
wouldn't have been I hope you wouldn't be in this situation that they are, that they're trying to get away from Army Special Forces that are shooting blanks at them.
True. Yeah. Although they know they're not going to get them, but yeah.
That's true.
To be fair, have you ever driven a snowmobile?
No, never.
Oh, they're so much fun. They're amazing. I've driven one once.
In
It is
Finland?
they're incredible fun. Yes, in Finland.
We're
Weirdly though, not visiting my wife's family. It was actually doing a film shoot up in Lapland with a friend of mine, and we were kind of it was one of my favorite film shoots because we just we kind of just did all the touristy stuff and filmed it randomly as part of it was supposed to the film was supposed to be documenting the kind of behind the scenes of a concert that was going to take place in the snow when they were going to make these big ice sculptures and things. But we kind of are filming, we just kind of filmed the guys doing all these cool, like touristy stuff, going on snowmobiles, riding on dog sleds, and all this kind of stuff. But yeah, I got to film off the back of a snowmobile, which is really fun. And I got to ride, we had to actually ride one to actually get to where we wanted to go. And that was amazing. Although I must admit, I did crash mine. It did actually flip over and land on me, but the snow was so thick, it didn't really do much damage. It just pushed me down a bit,
Damage to you or
but
to
yeah, it was a bit
the
hairy.
snowmobile?
No damage to anyone, thankfully. The snow was super deep, but that was a bit scary. But they're loads of fun. So yeah, as I say, if I saw a little jump like that, I'd probably go for it, no matter what I was chasing away from.
Wow. Okay. And where are you allowed in Finland to ride snowmobiles with clothes, or do you have to do that naked also? Like everything else that you have to do in Finland?
Yeah, no, it's got to be naked. Got to be naked. No. Yeah. They're more sensible out of the house. Actually, no, that's not true. They quite often run outside after the sauna to jump in the snow. Well, I say often, not often, but it's kind of a thing that occasionally happens. I've seen it happen once.
And did you follow suit?
No.
Okay, good man, good man. And then the minute basically ends as we see Grant and his men begin to approach the church, the front line. Now it's again, it's funny. I mean, we'll see on Monday what really happens here. But John just says to them, they're in the back. Why are they going to the front?
Yeah, they've seen them all leave.
They're in the back. They're in the back. All right, we're going to check out the front first, and then once we clear the front, we'll go to the back. So,
Clearly stalling.
yes, clearly. All right. So, do you have anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the scripts?
Oh, no, again, I think it's well covered.
All right, great. So it continues with it says McLean takes cover behind a parked car and he hears sounds of splintering wood. They're pulling out, and he's on his feet, firing his pistol, here outclassed by the assault rifles. Grant signals to his men, then follows McLean. They rush the church. There's no more fire from the front. Some of the men smash through the doors, others run alongside the church. Behind the church, through a crane shot, Stuart leads his men in Esperanza towards what looks like bushes about 30 yards beyond it. But as Miller and Burke reach them and grab at fabric, we realize that it is snow camouflaged tarpaulin. All right, and we're going to actually stop there because the rest of the stuff it takes place basically on
The next
Monday.
scene.
Yeah, I don't want to give away too much of what the whole thing is here. But again, they you know, according to the script, basically, we don't see them get on the on the snowmobiles themselves. They get on the snowmobiles and then John starts chasing them, which is a little bit of a hint of what's going to happen next week. All right, so every Friday I have a segment called Where Are They Up To This Weekend? Which we're starting to get to points where it might be a little difficult for my guests to deal with this one. But I mean, I don't know if you have any idea what we're going to be doing here, David. I don't know if you're familiar or not.
No.
All right, so you're going to be surprised. Basically, you know, the idea here is, okay, we've gone through 90 minutes of Die Hard 2. All right, so we, you know, and now we'll be beginning, you know, the final half hour plus of the movie starting on Monday. But the question is, okay, where are some of our favorite movies up to at the 90 minute mark? All right.
Okay.
So since you don't have a your own Movies by Minute podcast, I asked you to give me a list of your three favorite movies. And now we're going to test your memory to see if you can figure out what is going on in some of your favorite movies at this point.
Okay, one of them will be easy.
Okay, I only chose two of them. So maybe the one that I didn't choose is the one that was going to be really easy for you. I apologize in advance if that's the case. Right. So the one that I didn't choose is this is Spinal Tap. Is that the one you're referring to?
That would have been the easy one because it's less than 90 minutes. It would be finished.
Okay, so I think that would be a little bit of a problem. I mean, I didn't choose it because I'm trying to only do you know, two if I can to try and keep this you know, time you know, time efficient, I guess you can say. But yes, you were definitely correct about the fact that if we were to do this is Spinal Tap, it ended 8 minutes ago. So even if you would have been on last week, it wouldn't have helped. You know, it's only an 82 minute movie. So, yeah, it's a good thing I didn't choose that one. But your other two movies are much longer. So that is not something we have a problem with. So we'll get there.
Yeah, that's like Godfather's pretty long.
That's right. Okay, well, since you let the cat out of the bag, we'll start with The Godfather. That's okay. Not a problem. So The Godfather, what is happening at the 90-minute mark? What would you think?
Oh, no. Oh, it's just slightly past the middle. So
it's right past the middle, exactly.
I'm just trying to think what the big turning point is. I'm trying to, oh god. Oh, it's been a while that I've seen it now. I'm trying to, could it be,
you're supposed to guess, not look.
Oh god, it's been a while. I'm just, god knows. I guess, could it be the first attempt on, no, that must be earlier than that. I can't remember. The first attempt, when the Godfather first gets, he doesn't die straight away, but he, when he's first shot down, could it be around there?
Nope.
Oh, is that earlier than that?
Nope.
Oh, no.
At the, at least in the version of the Godfather that I have here, which again, you know, might be different versions and stuff like that. This is exactly in minute 90 is when Michael shoots in the restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I thought to say it's going to be one of the main right in the middle. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's where that happens. And then your other choice is the movie Once Upon a Time in the West.
Yeah.
What do you think is going on in at the 90 minute mark?
Oh, it's going to be a bit, a little after the kind of main middle bit. Oh, dear. This is tricky. Oh, what's the big middle bit? I'm trying to think. It's a complex film. It's not a, there's not a real easy middle bit I'm trying to think of.
Well, this is a little beyond the middle. You know.
Could it be... Yeah, a little beyond it. Could it be the shootout in the town after this after there's been the auction? Or is that too? That might be later than that. Is it after the auction and there's a bit of a shootout in town?
No, it's on the train.
Oh, okay. The killing of
so it's we have, you know, Harmonica sitting there on the train and he's looking out the window and exactly at the 90 minute mark is where he sees Jason Robards hanging on upside down outside the window.
Oh yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So yep, that's where those two movies are at this point. But again, you know, the as we move further into this movie, I'm assuming that many of my guests will have a problem that their movie will be over by this point. So,
Yeah.
we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. Some of them I know will be fine, and some of them I know that we will not be. But the question is whether my guests will be able to remember that their movie, like you did, that their movie is over before 90 minutes or before their minutes get there.
I do I yeah I always remember Spinal Tap being very, very short. And
Okay, that is fair.
in the UK in PAL as well. I mean, Blu-ray's different, but in the UK we have PAL instead of NTSC, and there's something called PAL Speed Up where it plays it at a different frame rate, so our films are slightly shorter than yours. On DVD and VHS they play slightly faster. We watch our films in slightly faster speed than you guys
See,
do.
that's the thing. I live in a country which also has PAL. I mean, I can't remember the last time I watched a videotape, because PAL and NTSC is only videotapes, correct?
I think it's I think DVD as well.
No, but DVD, it's a different rate also, a different speed rate.
I think they used to use a different frame rate. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. And they definitely had different resolution. I'm not sure about the frame rate. I'm pretty sure, but I might be wrong.
Interesting. No, I
Pretty
never really
sure it
thought about it.
was.
I mean, I've always known the difference between PAL and NTSC, and sometimes, I used to always have problems because I had to
Yeah, no.
make sure that whatever VCR I bought or was using, I need to make sure that I could use both, because I had some that were movies that were done in PAL and some that were NTSC, when I would get them from the
Yeah,
States.
no, I've looked. I, yeah, no, quickly looked it up. No, DVD era. Yeah, definitely on DVD there was PAL Speed Up, because the PAL DVDs would play at 25 frames per second, whereas movies would tend to be 24. So yeah, there was PAL Speed Up
Interesting.
on DVD, but on Blu-ray they've made it so that Blu-ray players are clever and can play at different rates depending on what the actual original source material is. But yeah.
Interesting. And does that is how does that work with streaming? Does streaming also do the different types of
I think again, streaming, yeah, it's fixed to whatever the file is. So as long as it's been encoded at the actual speed of the video footage, then it will play at that frame rate. So it's yeah, it's not a problem. But in DVD, they're all set. All the UK ones are just set. But I guess because of the way the TVs work, perhaps, and it was just set to 25 frames per second.
Interesting.
So.
Again, I've known about PAL and NTSC for 30 plus years. I never thought about what the actual difference was. I just thought it was just.
So maybe now, maybe my answer for the 90-minute mark was right on my DVD copies. No, probably not. I have
No,
no
because you
idea.
said
It's
it's
been 2 hours
faster,
since
so it's even it would
I
be
don't
even.
pay enough attention to what minutes on.
Right. That's true. All right. So, David, do you have anything in general you want to say about Die Hard 2 beyond what we've talked
I
about?
guess I no, I think I covered it quite well in the first episode. It's just I think it's a great action movie, and it's a great example of my favorite genre, really. And it's always a pleasure to watch it. And I was kicking myself for waiting that long to rewatch it, really, when I watched it the other night, because I just had a hell of a lot of fun with it. So no, thanks for bringing me on and making me watch it again.
Making, I don't know if I didn't force you to.
Well,
It's suggested, like you have suggested reading and stuff like that. It was suggested that you would rewatch it. You didn't have to if you don't want
I'm always watching films to review, so I kind of need excuses to rewatch films that I've already seen, because I'm always trying to watch new stuff that I've been sent a disc that I'm obliged to review. So it's I love that's why I quite like doing these podcasts. It forces me to revisit films or watch films that I might normally not put on. So it's yeah, it's good.
All right, cool. I'm glad that I'm able to help, and I plan to continue. I plan to continue to help you with that. All
Excellent.
right, great. Do you want to once again tell people where they can find David Burke?
Blueprintreview.co.uk is where you'll find all my writing on movies, and you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and all that kind of stuff. Just look for Blueprint Review.
All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com, or you can find me on Facebook. David, thank you very much for joining me this week. I had a very fun time. Hopefully you did too. Hopefully, even more importantly, our listeners did too. And I will be back on Monday with a new guest. But everyone have a great weekend, and until Monday, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay.
If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little villages here